Sam, it's just us this week.
Just the ladies.
Just the ladies. What are we going to talk about?
So I wanted to talk about self-care because I think it's been in the news a lot lately and mentioned in a lot of kind of think pieces lately. And it's particularly a female issue. It's a thing I think a lot of women try to do.
Dude, I have big thoughts on self-care.
I do too. Lots of thoughts.
So we're going to get into this. This is The Gem to Know. I am Nas.
And I'm Sam, one of our producers.
And so this week it is just me and Sam. We're going to not have to worry about sugarcoating things for guys. Actually, that sounds really mean.
I think it's kind of self-care is a thing that women deal with on their own and don't necessarily like.
Yeah. We don't need a man to talk about this.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're going to come to that. So basically we're on hiatus until the 15th of April. We will be back then. But until then, write to us, drop us a line, send us your thoughts and ideas, especially if they're about emotional labour, because that is still pissing everyone off. So it is thegendernot@gmail.com. We are also doing a bi-weekly newsletter.
So you can sign up on our website at thegendernot.com.
I'm really excited to talk about self-care because I feel like we might agree and disagree, which is always a good thing to do. But first, we're going to hear from our sponsor. So it is Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best takeaways and all the info you need to know from loads of nonfiction books. So it's kind of like you know these notes you used to use at school?
Yeah, like Cliff Notes or Spark Notes,
yes,
or whatever?
Yeah, okay. Where like, you know, if you hadn't read the text,
yeah,
you just go to the
super
book.
Helpful. I use them a lot.
So it's that, but for like lots of really hardcore books. Hang on, let me scroll and like read some of the things I've been checking out.
Okay, so this is just nonfiction though.
It's just nonfiction.
Okay.
And so it condenses these books down to 15 minutes and you can either read or listen.
So it's audio form too.
Yeah, so you can like, you know, if you're doing stuff, you can listen or you can have a quick read.
So can I get like the plot lines to all of, oh no, it's nonfiction, so not like classic literature that I still have yet to read but somehow own the books for.
No, but you can get a lot of classic philosophy because I've saved some Thomas Hobbes. Sorry, I'm laughing because I'm like, my list looks quite heavy.
Is this like a deep dive into Naz's brain?
Well, you can look at it if you
or
want.
Or your like hopes of who you want to
feel like I've like saved all the like really heavy books.
Oh my God, there's so much like self-helpy stuff.
No, there isn't. I'm not self-helpy.
How to stay sane. How luck happens. Give me a break. Ooh, madness and civilization. Meditations on first philosophy. Yeah, these are super interesting. So you've read a few of these or have you listened to them or both?
A little bit of both. So the one.
Which do you prefer? Is it better to just listen? Like when you're commuting?
Listening is quite good. I've quite liked the listening. So you go to blinkist.com/thegendernot. You can have a free 7-day trial.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, cool.
I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, so it's blinkist.com/thegendernot. Okay, cool. So self-care. You emailed me the other day being like, self-care for women, it's bullshit. And I have like a lot of opinions about this. So let's dive in. And so, a few people have written to us. So
yeah. So what sparked this, I should say, was that BuzzFeed article about burnout that went viral. And there was just a section in it that talked about self-care. And she was saying, you know, I'm burned out from all of these things at work and at home and expectations. And then I try and deal with the burnout by doing some self-care. But that just is another thing I put on my list. And I so related to that, where I put like yoga on my list or like try and schedule in brunch with friends. But then it just adds to the amount of things I need to do in a certain amount of time, which is so sad and not the point of self-care. And then I just, yeah, I'm exhausted.
So you're exhausted by caring for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the way in which especially women like put it on themselves to do that. And it kind of sucks the joy out of it. So I've been trying to find, and I think I've successfully found some ways to do it differently and then actually get the benefits out of it.
But I feel like you have an issue with the fact that self-care is a thing for women.
It's become really popular maybe in the past couple of years as kind of a buzzword, right? And so, you know, I think it started out super positive among friends who talked about it with me. And I think it's been kind of commodified in the process where now it's like, oh yeah, you should sign up for this yoga app or this meditation app or you know, you need to buy these special herbal teas that'll make you feel better. And so in that way, it's, yeah, again, just making you feel like you should do something, which I think is the problem, that should feeling.
Yeah, so this is interesting because I agreed with you until a few months ago. So I made a documentary on, it's slightly different, but kind of the same ballpark. I made this documentary about why women have taken to wellness. So it's kind of similar things like, you know, yoga, meditation, taking care of yourself. Because I'd always been very dismissive of this stuff. Maybe because I'm like, you know, achieve or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm like, let's just get shit done. But I was actually quite impressed with women after making this. Because I felt like, similar to self-care, it's this way of kind of laying boundaries, right? Of like, no, I have the right to have my own time for my own thing. So in a way, like, you know, on Instagram or whatever, when people are self-caring, like, on one hand, it's annoying, but I also think there's something kind of cool about that because it's like...
a nice reminder.
It's a reminder it's okay to say no to extra things and to make time for yourself. And especially if we think that women are constantly, like, having to, like, sacrifice for others and caretake and stuff.
Yeah. That's when I feel like self-care is at its best. And, of course, wellness is really... like a great concept of kind of taking care of yourself before you become run down or something. But yeah, I think when it goes to that place of you feeling pressure, maybe from Instagram or from your friends who are all going to their yoga class. And I should say I'm not anti-yoga. I'm a certified yoga instructor. So
which I was surprised
I'm
by.
Very pro-yoga.
I was surprised by you've been talking shit about yoga.
No, I think it's more about the when you feel expectations from other people or from yourself that you're putting on yourself and just being hard on yourself for not making enough time for all of these things that you feel like you should be doing. That's when I think self-care can be a problem. I don't think it's the self-care itself.
But is it something about women doing self-care that you find is the problem?
Well, I also think occasionally there's this idea of if you're really stressed out at work and there's too much on your plate, it's like, oh, you just need to go chill and
meditate,
take some time off. And yeah. But sometimes I think that's just messed up expectations for women at work or not feeling like you can say no to things, which I just am continually trying to work on because it's actually the best thing to do to take care of yourself sometimes.
This is an economy problem. I love it when things are an economy problem. Okay, so generally I think like you see a lot of workplaces pushing this wellness thing, which is like, oh, go meditate and stuff. And maybe more so on women as well, which is like, oh, maybe women are stressed because they have to take care of their kids and like... childcare is expensive and their husbands probably aren't doing a lot of work at home and they're trying to be perfect because society's putting that pressure on them.
They're trying to do it all, yeah.
Exactly. So it's not really about like, oh, you need to meditate more.
Right.
You know? So like, I think that then it can be a problem because, and maybe this is something that I feel like has happened the past decade where instead of looking at big problems in society, which are stressing us out, it's like, oh, let's look at like a self-empowered way of dealing with it.
Or like... kind of quick fixes, right. Essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where self-care, I can... those are times when it pisses me off, where I'm like, no, it's not that women need to do more yoga or you know, take baths or whatever. It's just that they need their employer to subsidize childcare. Like, if they're in a country where that's expensive. Or they, you know, if you live in London and commuting takes ages, I don't know, you need your employer to be flexible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you work from home or stuff like that. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I also think it's kind of going back to the expectations thing. It's also what we, because self-care has become a little bit commodified, we have this vision of what it's supposed to be. You know, face masks and baths, like
and
you
petals.
Said, and whatever. Yeah. And it was funny. So I sent that burnout article to a friend and kind of highlighted that section. And she wrote back and she's like, yeah, sometimes I don't need to go to an exercise class. I just need to take a nap. Like, I'm just tired. And I think that's what's so important is just...
but that can be self-care, no?
Absolutely. But I think we need to acknowledge that and not feel like we should be doing certain things. That was such a good article.
I reread it recently. And I think it's a really good article. I think the writer, she's great. Anne Helen Peterson, she writes a lot of good stuff. I reread it and I don't want to be like pushing the blame back onto people or women. There was this hint of like everyone trying to be perfect and do everything.
Yeah. Well, totally.
Which is also, again, maybe an economy problem.
And it's a bigger societal problem of this generation who feels like they should be doing everything perfectly. And
well, I think what she did well was she kind of equated it to like the economy and there are less like entry level jobs for people and like how you're always sort of trying to like be on. And then, like, you're always having to be available because of email and whatever. Yeah. So in that way, I was like, okay, this is cool that she's equated it to that. But then on another hand, I don't know, man, maybe people need to chill more. But I feel like that's like throwing the blame back onto people.
Yeah, so growing up in the Midwest and my parents are both pretty hardworking and kind of that Protestant-y American culture, like, I do have that feeling of I should always be doing something productive, even if it's like a thing for myself. It should somehow be productive and like adding to my advancement in some way or health or something. It's funny because I've had a couple like ex-boyfriends who are like, sometimes you gotta just like watch Netflix. Like, sometimes it's not about getting that fitness class in or like catching up with such and such friend. It's just about being lazy and enjoying it, I guess.
But do you feel guilty if you just do nothing?
Yeah, I do. And I think fighting that weird internal impulse is sometimes important.
Mm-hmm. But wait, what makes you feel guilty? Is it about doing something for yourself or that you're not being active or what?
Yeah, and I think this goes back to the whole burnout issue. It's feeling like, you know, oh, I have all these articles I should read or books I should read, or yeah, I should be doing something for my health. I don't know. It seems like there's this pile of things that I should be doing. And so if I'm not doing one of those, then I feel guilty about it. But I think this goes back to this problem of the word should. I had actually a yoga teacher who like told us we were not allowed to use the word should. Mm. We weren't allowed to should other people and we weren't allowed to should ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, at first I didn't really get it. And now I just completely embrace it because I think that is where these, especially like women can be really hard on themselves in the expectations they put on themselves. And it kind of comes along with that. So I was listening to Death, Sex, and Money like a long time ago. And they had a guest on who talked about how she did these things called shouldless days. So no shoulds. Mm-hmm. And so that's been my kind of adoption of self-care of like, okay, today I am having zero to-do lists. I'm just doing what I feel like doing in any given moment. And it's kind of sad that that's super empowering, but I guess that's how like busy we all are, or like busy we make ourselves.
Some of you wrote into us about this. We heard from John. So he told us, I'm non-binary, but cis passing as a man. Just call me a man. It's fine. Really, I started therapy a decade ago and do lots of self-care work as a result. The biggest thing I engage in is therapy itself, but it also includes daily meditation with both mindfulness and diaphragmic breathing. Regular scheduled calls with best friends to respond to feeling lonely, sad, and depressed more generally, and regularly checking in with myself to examine where in my body I'm feeling sensations that might be associated with specific emotion. Then I dig into what might be prompting those emotions. Very helpful for understanding my anxiety.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I do think like self-care is also not just a female issue. I think it obviously maybe tends to be a little bit more.
Okay, so what John wrote reminds me of, so this documentary I mentioned that I made. So it was kind of like looking at why women have gotten into this stuff so much. And I said that I felt quite impressed. And the reason is because I felt like women were looking for really proactive solutions to their problems, to especially things like health issues. One of the guests, she was a doctor. She was talking about how like women, so she's in the US and she was saying in the US women like usually, I think she said they go to 5 different doctors in over 5 years to get a specific diagnosis. Wow. to certain very female sort of illnesses. And then that's mind-blowing, right? You know, when you think about that. And then it was kind of impressive seeing how like a lot of women, they're not going to take no for an answer. So, okay, their doctor's saying no, so they're going to, you know, try alternative medicine, or they're going to like try some different thing, or they're going to do loads of reading. And I thought that was kind of cool. It was this sort of like, no, I want to live better than this. So I'm going to put in the work.
Mm. Kind of more holistic and more in tune with your own body, well, almost.
That, but I think just the fact that they wanted to look for a way to live better, which I thought was kind of cool. And I thought, okay, massive stereotype. It's a little bit against the male thing of like, stuff it, pretend it's not a problem, or like go drinking or whatever. Maybe that's the thing here, but you know what I mean? It was like, there was something really proactive. And I was like, that's kind of cool that women are doing that. Mm-hmm. They're not like, oh, I'm just going to like forget about it or pretend like this health issue isn't a big deal because my doctor's blowing me off or whatever.
Yeah.
They're going to like persist and like find a way.
Well, it's kind of a way to take more control of your own situation as well. Mm. Like, just, yeah, saying, okay, I'm going to take it into my own hands. Yeah, so we also got a message on Facebook from Sarah Burton. She says, the crux of self-care that I'm beginning to get to grips with is knowing when I need to give myself a break from all the tasks, responsibilities, and shoulds, like I said, that come with being an adult, and acknowledging many shoulds are self-imposed via societal gender biases. But also understanding when I've given myself enough of a break, that getting up and out and tending to my responsibilities, taking off my to-do list and exercising is empowering and energizing and makes me feel better, i.e. self-care. I'm also beginning to have the awareness that some of my self-care activities, like going for a run, can be either, or simultaneously all, self-inflicted should that I mentally punish myself about, indifferent, like brushing my teeth, or something that brings me physical and mental release and joy. The distinction ultimately is how I choose to view it in awareness, which is easier said than done. I really relate to that last bit about how self-care can be both kind of like a negative self-inflicted should, but also a positive. Because so maybe I have something on my to-do list, and by having it on my to-do list, it makes it less fun or something. But I still have a lovely, enjoyable yoga class. And when I'm in it and in that moment, that's the important part.
I've stopped having to-do lists. Like, I have a monthly one at the start of the month. So I'm like, these are things that need to be done.
And is this only like business?
It's like everything. Because I also throw everything into the same notebook. Mm-hmm. Like personal, financial, like work.
Yeah, I don't understand your notebooks. Stress me out.
But it's like, you know when...
But it's probably better than mine.
But you know when people join me, they're like, this is my ideas book, and this is my intimate thoughts book, and this is my finance book. And then they're like, I can't like... have ideas right now because I don't have my right notebook, and I'm like, look, life is messy, throw it on all in one book. So I do a monthly to-do list, which is like basically stuff for the month. And okay, people are different and stuff, right? But I find if something's important, I'll remember it. So what is great is when at the end of the month I look back to the list, most of the things that haven't been done or that I can't remember aren't that important anyway. So it's been quite nice doing that.
Yeah.
It feels quite freeing.
Yeah. This reminds me, so I remember at my first job working in like a nonprofit, I got super burnt out, and my dad gave me a really good, I don't know, visualization, I guess, where he like, you make these four boxes and the one is everything that's timely and important. So it needs to happen now and it's important. One's important but not timely, so it's important but can happen whenever. One is timely but not important, so it needs to happen now but it's not that important. And then the last one is not timely and not important, and like spacing stuff out that way. And then you just realize that whole box of like not timely and not important, you just chuck off the list. And it was like, oh yeah, I do all these stupid little tasks that actually don't matter. And that's just because I'm like too organized or something. And I need to let those go, and then I'll be a lot happier.
Okay, so this is making me think, talking about self-care and it being kind of quite a gendered thing, and me liking that it's women laying boundaries and stuff. I just wonder how much this is related to our responsibilities to others, right? And I think that's something that we women are really into. It's like, oh, my friend needs me, my family needs me, my kids need this, my husband needs that, or whatever, right?
I mean, like, I feel like in a way, self-care is kind of the new word for me time. I don't know, my mom used to say that when we were like little, okay, you know, I just need me time. And I think that's a thing a lot of moms maybe relate to, but I think it's kind of everyone embracing that, yeah, you need time to just do what you need to do. Okay, so I recently signed up, I forget where I heard about it, but I signed up for this newsletter called Girls Night In, and it's like a self-care wellness newsletter basically, but it's all about kind of not being ashamed to say you don't want to go out on a weekend night, which as kind of an introvert, I find really, I need that sometimes where, yeah, just saying no to other people, whether it's for work tasks or even for fun socializing is important.
So putting your foot down.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, me time. We're reclaiming me time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you still think self-care is bullshit?
Anything that has a should or expectations connected to it is bullshit, and you should examine where those expectations are coming from, whether they're your own or there's some like advertising you're getting at, advertisement you're getting on your Instagram account or whatever.
Yeah, there's always pressure on women to be perfect and to do everything perfectly, and whether self-care is feeding into that.
Self-care should not be about that, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, but I think that's the danger, right? That it's like another thing that women need to ace and do perfectly and fit in. And maybe the best form of self-care is to just be like, screw it, I'm not doing anything. Yeah. I'm going to feel bad about it.
If it's stressing you out on your list, like, it shouldn't be on your list.
Yeah. So that was us talking about whether self-care is bullshit. I am Naz.
And I'm Sam.
And we are back on April 15th.
See you then. We'll be right back.